Yeah. So I just, my concern is that we do not lose the opportunity to be able to do whatever it is that we can and want to do in partnership with them.
Okay.
Jennifer, this is Jamie, could I go?
Jamie, go. Yeah, go ahead.
Is there nobody else?
No, I was going to say something, but you go. I've spoken, so go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Yes, I think this is a very good discussion for us to have. What is our role? As I said before, folks, last year and the year before, I served on the National Finance Committee. Alberto also was on it with me, so he can tell you how that went. And I think the history of that committee in Pacifica's government, the Finance Committee has actually affected things. You know, we made budgets, we got report time at the various meetings. We said, you know, you're not making enough money here, you got to do something. I think we drove change, you know, and budget policy certainly is making things happen. And on the other hand, my perception of the programming committee throughout its life, since we've had these new bylaws, is it really hasn't affected facts on the ground that much. So I think that's one thing we need to keep in mind. What can we do that will actually make a real difference in what's just spinning our wheels? You know, so with that in mind, I suggested in my email that one of the things that we focus on is making reports of basic kind of programming facts at the stations for the PNB, and basically to get this kind of information down in one document that people could refer to. And I suggested, sort of off the top of my head, listenership is defined by Arbitron, characteristics of the stations, what makes their programming different one to the other, length of time shows have been on the air, how programming evaluation happens at the different station, or whether it happens at all, which I think is a very relevant question for us. What kind of shows? How many shows are locally produced versus how many come from some? How many are not produced at the station? What kind of diversity there is of programmers and program topics and other issues? I think, you know, getting that kind of information down in a basic report, which we could probably do, would be a useful thing, and, you know, might help move the discussion forward and perhaps even drive some necessary change. A couple of specific issues around that I don't know, well, one that I don't know the answer is where to get this kind of information from. I know that it exists at various places throughout the network. Once again, to refer to the National Finance Committee, on the Finance Committee, we had the CFO and the Executive Director, and if we had questions, we could ask them. And since they basically, you know, not to put a too fine point on it, but they, both of those people were employed by the Board of Directors, they had a lot of, you know, they would do what we asked. They did, you know, they did work for us. Whereas these programming that information exists at the stations. So how to get it is going to be a little more tricky than on the Finance Committee.
Can
that
I
might
add?
Be a challenge for you. Yeah, I'm not quite done.
Sure.
And then one person, I believe it was Kim, mentioned Arbitrons. And I agree with you, Kim. Arbitrons are not such a great metric for us, but they're really the only measure of listenership that we have, as far as I know. So, you know, and the information is there. So we might as well look at it. The suggestion of examining how helpful it is or how accurate it is a good one. That's a good question. A couple of issues around Arbitron. This year, the stations were budgeted to pay for not just the basic reporting, but more advanced Arbitron reporting. That cost $9,600 more per year. I'm not sure what's in that, so it may be a good question. What are we getting for that money to make sure people understand that? And another issue around Arbitrons is that at least one of the stations, my station, WBAI, does not get Arbitrons now because basically the station does not have the money to pay for it.
Huh.
It might be that one other station is in that boat too. I'm not sure.
Jamie, this is Jim. I don't want to interrupt you here, but I want to do a follow up to what you just said really quickly. Many stations can no longer afford Arbitrons because of how expensive they are. It's certainly at WMNF we can't, and we're one of the more financially stable stations in the network, and we cannot afford the Arbitrons now, so we don't actually get any of their new reporting system whatsoever. We can go online and look at the top lines, but that's all that we can see. And so we're no longer in a financial position where we can afford them. It really is a situation where we have to figure out if it's worth the extra money to be able to get those reports, or whether we should, which we have also done for a while, is look at the listenership online, because you can extrapolate what is there in a fairly accurate way, that it kind of reflects what people do with their listening habits over the traditional airwaves as well. So you may actually be able to get some good, solid information based on whether you have the bandwidth that allows a significant number of people to listen, and how the listening patterns online, which we used to get, reflect what the actual over-the-air listenership is in terms of time spent listening. So I think that's probably where a lot of the stations can go, is to look on reporting that they can develop for their online listenership.
Can I
this
add?
Is exactly
that's a good
like
point.
To...
Yeah, I have a quick. Can I ask a quick follow-up to Jim?
Go ahead, James.
Have you found that not getting? How long have you not got the Arbitrons for over the air? And have you found that it's hindered decision making?
No, it hasn't hindered the decision making, because we do look at our online listenership, and we can still go and get what are called the top lines.
Right.
You can look that up on the RRC online and get those, and you could certainly compare the different Pacifica stations with those without spending money, really. So it really hasn't affected the other thing is that they've gone to this new reporting system, which in some ways is more accurate with the people meters, but again, there are some things that are huge drawbacks, and there were already some strong inconsistencies and some issues around diversity with their old system, and some of those the new system has created some new issues, diversity of reporting of the actual listenership.
Can I add?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question at some point.
And Leslie would like to be on the stack.
All right, let's make a new stack. Okay, we'll start with Leslie.
Benito.
I think Benito is before me.
Okay, Benito, you want to go first? Is there anyone else?
Of course. I am.
Alberto? Okay, Alberto. Benito, Leslie, and Alberto.
Yeah, this is just a question. Jamie made a statement earlier. Jamie, you said, and I'd just like some clarification, or if you could expand on it. You said that the programming committee has not affected reality, I think, or change since the new bylaws went into effect. Could you explain that?
Well,
what is it about these bylaws that, you know...
Well, no.
I'm sorry,
well,
go ahead. It's just a question.
No, yeah, no, I understand your question. I want you to understand that's just sort of an impressionistic answer. I haven't followed it that closely, but I have followed the governance structure that we've had since the new bylaws came in. You know, one of the things that the new bylaws called for was the PNB would have a programming committee, and there has been one, and I believe they have met pretty regularly for the past several years, with the exception of last year. I believe they were pretty inactive. And I guess in 2008, they passed a good motion calling for stations to develop plans to increase listenership and to submit those plans. But for all the effort, this is my impression, and not someone who's been on the committee, but you know, from what I've seen, for all the effort to develop policy or, you know, to call for those plans, I don't know if those plans have been made, or I don't know if any of the policies that have been made by the committee in years past have really been followed in any way. You know, my impression is that programming is pretty much driven by local priorities, and that's, you know, that's the reality of Pacifica as it's been. So the National Programming Committee has not really affected that too much. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, Leslie?
Yeah, I've heard a fascinating list of task force for this year. Really creative ideas here. I think with the Arbitrons, one of the things we may want to do as a committee is evaluate their usefulness and make suggestions on how they can, if we're going to pay for them, in fact, be used usefully and what the dangers are, and make that clear. I think what we bought last year was a breakdown to half an hour or hourly as opposed to time of day, morning, afternoon, evening. And I'm afraid that that kind of detail gets us exactly into the problems that Jim Bennett was talking about with the personal people meter and the questions of diversity and accuracy. What I'm also hearing here, if I may say so, is that what we need is a needs assessment based on what the stations and the LSBs tell us they need. Right now, we've got, you know, we're into finance, technology, program councils, how programming decisions are made. I sent out a proposed motion to just gather up the policies that are in place as a starting point and seeing what policies we have and what we don't, and what's working and what's not. And that, to me, is the beginning of a needs assessment. You know, where are we actually falling through the cracks according to our program directors, according to our ED, and according to our LSBs? I know here at K we have a very active program council. It meets regularly. It makes a lot of important decisions and, frankly, gets very little response from station staff. So the need here may be for communication between station staff and program councils, for instance. And we may find that's a network-wide need. I don't know. But I think a needs assessment may be the way to go here.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say something. Yeah, I think maybe I agree with Jamie that it seems like the programming committee really has not affected any change. That in 2007, a lot of work was done, and then it kind of disappeared into the ethers, and that was it. I think we should try to be very specific in what we're going to do. I think a needs assessment is a good idea, of some sort of survey that maybe we can collaborate on to get a lot of information, and maybe we can each of us from each station go to the program directors, the general managers, the CABs, the councils, whatever we have, and try to fill in some of this information. I also think it's very, I think the lack of procedural structure in at the stations as far as programming, especially in regard to programming councils with no teeth, has caused major constipation in programming at all the stations. It's a very close, we have all kinds of closed systems and nepotism and people on for years and years that never changes. There are all kinds of problems, and I think we really need a streamlined structure at all the stations. So it behooves us to look into each programming council and see what's working at each station. So that's another thing. I also, one last thing. I do think a major thing we could do is what Afia mentioned about Al Jazeera. I think it would be a very good thing for the network to carry Al Jazeera. It would put us in the real world a little bit, and perhaps we as a committee can push that.
I was understanding.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut in. I'm really sorry.
No. That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of points that have been brought up by the different people here on the committee, and I would like to touch on all of them. However, I think addressing the list that Jamie has put out could be a way for myself to respond to this committee on the different issues that are coming before us as it relates to the whole concept of programming. I'll tell you a couple of very important things. The Arbitron ratings that KPFT Houston is getting, we're getting the every half hour reports. They have been extremely good for the management to look at how the people are listening to our radio station. There has been a continuous discussion, and I'm using the word with all due respect, between management and members of the local station board over this whole issue of programming. At KPFT, we have a fairly or very, depending who you ask, functional program council. As a matter of fact, we just elected a new round of program council members this month, or it could have been, are we March? Yeah, February going into March. So we have a program council that is doing different activities. As it relates, going back to the Arbitrons, they have been very, very good at showing not only management, but showing program council members and also showing programmers where they really stand as it relates to that particular aspect of what we use to gauge who's listening to us. Of course, the other very, very important aspect of programming and listening is how our programmers and our programs are getting supported by their listeners. And there's also obviously a big controversy, which is very low-key, but for my chair is a big controversy over different types of programming that KPFT has. There's those people that say this is what it should be, and there's this other group of people that are always saying this is what is. And at the end of the day, what we tend to look at is how is the money coming in to keep the radio station afloat. The Arbitrons are telling those programmers who think that they have a lot of listeners how much they're actually doing. At the same time, those programmers are beginning to find out that using the other medias, Facebook, their internet connections, their support groups, every programmer has a support group out into the community, whether you're playing country or you're doing country music or you're doing Progressive Forum, which is a two-hour talk show, or whatever the shows that you're doing. So there's a lot of information coming back to our programmers at KPFT telling us how the money is coming in, tell us how many people are listening to us, and we have figured that all of that information is helping us maintain a level of income that is keeping us in the black, and we need to continue that. Now, going back to the program council, there's people in the program council that says it doesn't have enough teeth. There's people in the program council that are saying we're doing our job responsibility, and that's an issue that is always before us. And you know, nobody's ever going to be satisfied, but we try to keep the thing moving forward. As it relates to Jamie's list, I think I would be able to work with management to get us as much information as possible to be sent to this committee. To add, you know, we have a belief at KPFT that the Federal Communications Commission, at the end of the day, is the federal government entity that oversees our radio station as it relates to the license that Pacifica has on our behalf. And as long as the Federal Communications Commission puts the majority, not all, but the majority of the responsibility on the station manager and is duly responsible for what is coming out through those airwaves, we're going to continue working in that perspective. And finally, in closing, KPFT is considered the smallest unit in the Pacifica organization. However, we have 72 programs per week that originated at KPFT, and all of the programmers are volunteers. Some programs started not too long ago. Some programs have been going on for 20, 25 years now. As a matter of fact, as most of you know, KPFT just turned 40 on the 1st of March, and we want to keep making sure that our audience is receiving the sounds that they are contributing to, and at the end of the day, our customers are the members and the listeners of the Pacifica radio station, and that's my big thing, that we need to keep satisfying our members that listen to our radio station, even if it is not kosher with many of some of us who think that it should be one way, but we need to satisfy our members that are paying for their music and that are paying for their talk shows. And I can keep on going all night, but I'm going to shut up now.
Yes, we have 4 minutes till 10. The meeting's supposed to end at 10. So does anyone else? I think we have to set the meeting date if no one else wants to speak. Okay.
Point of information.
Okay.
I was curious as to whether or not Leslie has found the bylaws reference to which
Leslie,
what she made a reference earlier.
No, I haven't. I've been taking notes on the meeting. I will get that information to you. I'll email it to you all.
Okay. Thank you. I took the liberty to take April 19th on the calendar because it was the next Monday that was open. It's a little soon, but since we're going to have our in-person meeting the week after, I thought that was a good day. How did everybody feel about that?
What do you mean in-person meeting?
The meeting in L.A.
The
board meeting. So
what's that?
The weekend of the 23rd, 24th, 25th, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I know it's a little bit soon, but...
3 weeks, right?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean,
okay.
That's not that bad.
Basically,
so it'll be
like we need to have voted before then.
We
right?
will vote. We
or
will
not.
Vote.
I mean, it doesn't matter,
yeah.
really. I mean...
This is Jim. I cannot make a meeting on the 19th because that's the night of the WMNF local station board meeting.
Oh, dear.
Be sure and vote, Jim.
I will.
Well, okay. Well, we'll have a meeting the next month. You know. We'll,
yeah. I could meet the 26th, but not the 19th.
26th is going to be hard.
It's closed already.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, everything was taken. That was the problem. So I tried to grab what I could.
19th is fine.
Our meeting is the third Monday of each month. So.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer, 19th is fine. Let's move.
Okay.
Someone's raising up.
Yeah,
I think we. Excuse me, this is Benito here in D.C., but if someone is a member of this committee and they're voicing that they have a regular, you know, their LSB meeting, is that what I heard, that the regular LSB meeting falls
on the third Monday? I'm only an affiliate director. I'm not from one of the five stations. So.
Well, you're a member of this committee.
You're not going to be able to attend the third Monday.
But we're not setting it forever. It's just for our next meeting, Benito.
Oh.
It's just for our next meeting.
I have actually marked on the calendar that a bunch of Mondays, and most of them are the third, but we can change it. I mean, it's not set in stone.
How many people were not here tonight who might show up next time?
Well, we have, sixteen people? We have 16 people. So we had 9.
Okay. So,
that's so many people.
Well, today is also the first day of Passover, which I didn't realize, and that probably precluded some people. So the next meeting is going to be on April 19th. Sorry, Jim. And do we want to adjourn?
Don't move.
Okay.
Second. At 8:30.
Any objections to adjourning? No. Great. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks.